Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Tuesday, the 26th of May. I'm going to upset a few people today, I expect. Two controversial topics. We got to talk about Cummings, and I know people do this for betting, and they think I talk a load of shit, but it's my podcast. I talk what I like. What was that yesterday? What was that? I mean, we are living in... nothing starts to surprise me. You've got an advisor doing a press conference in the Rose Garden of Downing Street. I mean, just think of how high a regard they must hold him in for that to happen before anything else. It is one of them where you think, what has he got on them? Because it's... I could not believe that that happened, let alone what was actually said and came out of it in the press conference. I've got a view on it. It's an opinion. He's talking out of his arse. Of course he is. People will agree with that. I don't look at this anything from Brexit, Remain, Leave, Conservative, and genuinely people can believe that or don't. I've just spoken to a good friend of mine this morning whose wife has lost her gran through COVID, couldn't go and see her, couldn't go to a funeral. They've got two autistic kids they've been stuck in the house with since March the 14th. And they're rightly pissed. That's the facts of it. That's the absolute facts of it. And I get people saying it's disgraceful what's happening to him, mainstream media destroy. I agree, reporters, if they're outside his house, one, I don't think they need to be there, it's ridiculous, and they should be social distancing if they are. I've never really got that paparazzi clamouring to take pictures and sticking cameras in cars with whoever it is. I certainly full wholeheartedly agree that people shouldn't be going to his parents' house, as I think Sky News sent somebody there yesterday. I think it's dreadful behaviour for that. I do agree that his neighbours have got the right to shout at him, because I think they're pissed as well. I think we all are. I think that's the big issue with it. And I said yesterday, be honest with yourself. You've got to try and put things to one side in circumstances like this. And I'm not clamouring for the guy to get sacked, but let's be truly honest. When you tie yourself to a political party, and it just becomes daft because you end up trying to defend stuff like this. And I can never prove what I'm going to say now, but I would have a fair wager that he was late out yesterday. What was he, half hour, 35 minutes late, trying to fabricate and get a story straight, particularly after an eyewitness gave the correct reg of his registration number spotted by that river in Barnard Castle. And once that came out, he had to explain why he was there. And we got it was an eyesight test. He drove. I mean, really? You're talking about the most intelligent minds in the country, apparently. Top Oxford-educated politicians and advisors. And they honestly expect us to believe that he got in his car with his wife, who can drive, a four-year-old kid, and drove to a quaint river spot 45 an hour's drive away. Yeah, I mean, he drove 2 hours, an hour there, hour back, 45 minutes, hour and a half. He'd have been a third of the way home. It's just, I can't believe it. And I know people, just put everything to one side and then he claimed twice that twice in that press conference he said yesterday about, he was misrepresented when he said about if old people die, so be it, and herd immunity. It is reported that he said that. It's reported by numerous sources. He said, I wrote papers on pandemics and coronavirus. But he didn't. I mean, it's a lie. He did write a paper on pandemics, mentioning about but he didn't mention coronavirus or SARS. He added that on the 14th of April. It's been proven. He added it on the 14th of April this year. He changed the article to include coronavirus and SARS. And then he sits in a press conference and says, I had wrote about it last year. I mean, it's all just so pathetic, isn't it? And somebody said to me, why is it important yesterday? Why is it important what this guy? This guy's at the top, the absolute top of government advice. He's advising the top man in the land about how this country should proceed, not just on coronavirus, but on a whole host of matters. and it's been found he's a liar. That's the facts of it. It's found. Forget if you forget the eyesight thing, the website thing. He's a proven liar, and we have the top politicians in this country now: education secretary, foreign secretary, health secretary, chancellor, chancellor of the duchy, all doing this protection ring thing. They did it yesterday again, all tweeted, sort of coordinated tweets. He's explained himself, let's just move on. I mean, they're making it look worse every single day. When I first heard he'd been there, I didn't really think that much of it. I said it wasn't so much about what he did. If he comes out and says I'm wrong, I'm in absolute no doubt. No doubt at all, having read that advice up and down, that he was wrong. And the rule says clearly nothing about instincts, which the Prime Minister said on, was it Sunday night, or exercising judgment, which he used the phrase repeatedly yesterday. It doesn't say exercise judgment anywhere. Nowhere, not even remotely hints to it. It says stay at home and do things to the best of your ability if you've got young kids. And it gives you options where somebody can come and pick the kids up, or if you need to go out and help somebody. It doesn't say fuck off around the country. There's nowhere is that covered whatsoever. And rather than hold your hands up and say, actually, I fucked this up, he says, I don't think it's wrong. And the nonsense they're spouting to protect him, is it any wonder? You know, his eye tests didn't stop on the way. Can't remember the phone call with Boris, as they were both too ill. Can't remember if he stopped on the way back, changing the website to adding coronavirus. It's all just lies and incompetence of the highest level of government. That's why it matters. And it's being defended by the highest level of government. And his fans will buy it. There may be leavers who think he's great and they'll buy it. And remainers who want him out and they'll use any excuse to have it is. I take it as what is. They're all liars. Gove is a liar. Johnson is a liar. Cummings is a liar. You hoped that people... Hancock's a liar. You hoped that people like Sunak might have something about them. And they haven't. They don't give a shit about you or I. And that's my issue with it. And it's just being cemented. I think they're all an absolute fucking disgrace. There's not one redeeming quality in any of them. The media scrum's a different argument. I've made my thoughts on the media and people like Piers Morgan, etc., bouncing up and down. But this is just now a massive embarrassment of nonsense coming out. And it's being made to look an idiot. I don't like, me personally, I don't like sitting there listening to a man who's meant to be running the country talk shit like that and be expected to suck it up and say, yeah, oh yeah, that's what happened. And if that's the best they can come up with, well, I mean, we're fucked. We are absolutely fucked with these people in charge, because they're fucking wrong-uns. That's what they are. They are fucking wrong-uns. And I told you that. This isn't me jumping on a bandwagon. I told you that all last year. Absolute fucking wrong-uns is what they are. And it's a disgrace. And they can have their fans. All I say to people, you've got to have a fucking good look at yourself. If that's what you want to support, if that's where your morals are, if that's what you want your kids to fucking follow, you need to have a good look at yourself. And you can't say, oh, the other side, they didn't have anything. I'm not fucking interested in that. I'm talking about the people we are dealing with now. They are fucking wrong-uns. Absolute fucking disgrace. And this is a farce. Absolute fucking farce. Eye test. Do me a favour. Who jumps in a car if you can't... I mean, it's against the law to do that, because it says in the highway code that if your fucking eyes don't work, you can't drive. I mean, come on, love, we'll put the kids in, we'll go for a little drive. Let's go and do half hour there. Do me a favour. If that's the best they can come up with to try and cover this guy's arse. Ridiculous. Anyway, right, let's move on. I'm going to return to another topic of mine that gets me is XG. I'm going to discuss a little bit of XG. I've discussed XG a few times on here, and I've got to stress, because I get quite vociferous responses. It is only my opinion. We all bet in different ways, and there's people who use it and are massive supporters of it, and that's fair enough. I have my opinion, and that is all it is. It is my opinion. I may be way off the mark. My issue on the pod, I've stated many times, as somebody who goes and watches football live, I'm not talking about TV and just spreadsheets, actually goes and watch it live, no two chances to me are ever the same. You can have a database of chances, but no two are ever the same. The speed of the cross, the spin of the ball, different keepers, different defender positions. And the logic in it to me, and I'm a logic individual, the logic in it to me, having watched live football for 42 years, is it's flawed. And the example I've always given, as somebody who goes to Spurs, is that if a ball drops to Harry Kane on the right side of the box, or a ball drops to Eric Lamella in the same place from exactly the same cross, let's say two exactly identical situations of scoring a goal or getting a shot away, and one falls to Kane and one falls to Lamella on the right side of the box, I know I want on the end of it. I know that with one, it probably ends up in the back net, back of the net, and the other one probably ends up in row Z. That has been what I've said on this podcast, and a few instances I've discussed it. So Lord Dio, a while back, a couple of weeks ago, tweeted me to read a book on XG. He said, here's a book, you might want to read it. And I can't remember the exact tweet, and I can't see it now, but it said that it covers my issue of Kane, Lamella, etc., my issue of players not scoring. It may answer some queries I have. So I bought it that day, and I've been reading a couple of other things, but I've got round to reading it. Started it on Sunday. And the book starts out explaining XG and how people like me are dinosaurs. He makes reference to Jeff Stelling slagging it off after Arsene Wenger used it. And that we're resistant, people like me are resistant to change because I don't. Fair enough, we can all have opinion. And Dio had said that it covers this issue. So I got to that bit last night where it covers this issue of Kane and Lamella. And I want to be honest, I've got to that section of the book that I think Dio was referring to would answer my query. And I've had to jack it in, I've had to ditch it. I'm not going to sit here slagging anyone off, but I can't. I found it complete and utter nonsense. And again, that's my opinion. I'm going to tell you why. So in the book, he gets this bit where he talks about one of the arguments thrown up at XG is different players, exactly what I said, different players getting it in a position. I've got the book in front of me, so I'm probably going to fiddle to some pages. One of the big problems, ask questions like, and he uses Cristiano Ronaldo and Glenn Murray. If they take a shot from the same position, how can you give each shot the same chance of resulting in a goal? Surely Ronaldo is more likely to convert than Murray. He says, this is what he says, I'm quoting from the book, Opta's expected goal model takes the average probability of a shot going in from a huge database and reflects the probability that the average player would score from that situation. Well, even that then, I think for the average player, what about, the players that are above average? So he says that, I quote again, which I find absolutely staggering, that it may be valid, but he offers this rebuttal that finishing ability does not vary as much as we might be inclined to believe. Really? Really? And his thought process is that players do not outperform their own personal XG, so they are not as clinical as we believe. And he goes on and offers a load of stuff on Ronaldo, explaining why he might not. And if he goes on about the standard approach, these averages better way to do it, and basically that While some players may seem more clinical than others, all professional strikers appear to possess roughly the same finishing prowess. I can't have it. I think it's absolute, complete and utter bollocks. You're telling me, as somebody who's watched Shearer, Van Nistelrooy, Henri, Kane, Lineker, that they're not better than the average? That all professional strikers appear to be the same? Really? So Troy Deeney's as clinical as those guys? Really? Is he? Christian Benteke? Really? So he says, and this is where I got to the crux of it, and I absolutely love this, and this is where somebody may pull me up because I might have it wrong, because I can't believe that this is right, that I've got it right. Because if I have, then the book should just go straight in the bin and never be looked at by anyone ever again. He puts, I challenge the reader to search through Understat's vast database of expected goals data and find any player who has outperformed his XG for 5 consecutive seasons. Not only is it impossible to find a player who consistently outperforms his scoring expectation, but the number of great players who underperform is astounding. So he says, can you find any player, I imagine people read through this and don't bother with it, find any player who's outperformed his XG for five consecutive seasons? Not only is it impossible, that's the word he uses, impossible. Well, I'm a pain in the arse, I'm well aware of that, and I'm a boring individual, and facts matter. It took me 35 seconds to debunk that, because I thought, I'm sure that can't be right. So I went straight to the website that he talks about, which is a website called Understat, which is an expected goal. They got a search feature in there. I typed in Harry Kane. So I challenged the reader to search through Understat's vast database of expect and find any player who has outperformed his XG for five consecutive seasons. I went straight to their website. I typed in Harry Kane. Harry Kane comes up. Harry Kane has outperformed his XG for the last six seasons. In 2014-15, XG said he'd score 17.16 goals. He scored 21. In 2015-16, XG said he'd score 22.73 goals. He scored 25. In 16-17, XG said he'd score 19.82 goals. He scored 29. In 17-18, XG said he'd score 26.86 goals. He scored 30. In 18-19, when he was injured for half the season, XG said he'd score 16.12, he scored 17. This season, XG said he'd score 7.9, again, he's been injured a load, he's scored 11. I mean that one paragraph there, the book has to go in the bin. This book only came out in November. This isn't like fucking, he wrote this 5 years ago and Harry Kane's popped on the scene. The first thing I do is look at the most prolific scorer in the league over the last few years, which undoubtedly is Harry Kane, or you can go if you want to look Mo Salah. So I thought, I know else, because I have used XG. I tend to like it when teams are really outperforming or underperforming as a whole. And my one was Liverpool were not letting many goals in two seasons ago. And the keeper, when Alisson first came in, they were just unbelievable. And I thought, well, that can't keep up. And Arsenal, when Emery was there and they had Lacazette and Aubameyang, they were scoring every chance they got. And I thought, well, that can't keep up. So you do get a massive disparity between what they're actually doing and what would be normal. But I didn't really need XG numbers to do that. You could see it week in, week out, just looking at shots converted and things. But I went to Lacazette then. I thought, I'll go to Lacazette. And admittedly, Lacazette doesn't have five seasons on the trot. But out of five of the last six seasons, Lacazette, 14-15. I'm sorry if I'm boring people, but I think this is facts matter. 18.6 goals XG in 14-15. He scored 27. 21.04 goals XG at Lyon in 15-16. 21.04. He scored 21. 16-17, 22.47 XG, scored 28. 13.8 in his first year at Arsenal, we scored 14. 12 in his second year at Arsenal, we scored 13. 6 in his third year at Arsenal, he scored so far 7. So other than the one season at Lyon where it was 21.04 and he scored 21, he is another player, 5 out of the last 6 seasons, bar one minor little tiny discrepancy, outperforming his XG. It's complete and utter bollocks, my friends, I'm afraid. Complete and utter shite. The only reason that they're using it is to their model, which they think is fantastic and the best thing since sliced bread, they're not doing it to our numbers. And then you go and find a player like Harry Kane. Of course Harry Kane's fucking better than most people at converting chances. Do me a fucking favour. I watch the guy every week. If you fucking think he isn't, you've got something wrong with you and your fucking numbers are bollocks. So what has this done for me? It's given me even less faith in it and the people who talk about it. This guy's meant to be a fucking expert in it. I can't read anymore. I stopped. I literally got to that and I thought, I can't believe that. I'm going to check that. I typed in Harry Kane. I've got to 44% of the book and that is me done. I am not reading another page. And there'll probably be people who say, oh, you should read on. There's a bit there. I can't be doing with it. He's challenged me to do something. I've done it and he said it was impossible. Fuck off, rewrite your book and do it properly. Absolute load of bollocks. So that's my view on it. And good luck if you use it. Well, as I say, we're all different. It's not for me. I do have XG going to a database of my own, but I very rarely use it. As I say, I'm more of a team thing if teams are massively outperforming. But I think as a metric going forward, I think it is massively, massively flawed in my opinion, and we're all entitled to an opinion, and I'm really not fussed what other people think. Don't give me any more shit books on it, because it fucking annoyed me. I couldn't sleep. Fucking impossible. Well, yeah, I think he'd done it to wind me up. Right, where are we? We've got football today, haven't we? Let's get into that. I've got no recipes or nothing today. I'm running behind as always. I had an absolute trauma doing the ultimate sheets this morning. I had an absolute disaster. I was nearly in tears, I'm not going to lie. I got myself right depressed with it all. I was a man on the edge, but we got it in the end. You know when you get so frustrated with something when it's just not right and it's just there, that's how I get. I work myself up. I like everything to be right and I just got myself really worked up with it this morning. It's a fucking Excel sheet. Get a grip, man. Right, what have we got today? We have got, it's the big game in Germany, isn't it? We got Dortmund versus Munich. I've got Dortmund as small value, but I won't be getting involved in backing them. But I've got Dortmund as value to beat Bayern Munich. Hopefully just a cracking game, one you're going to watch with an echoey stadium. I do have a mention away, which is Mönchengladbach away to Werder Bremen. Gladbach away to Werder Bremen in Bundesliga 1. Gladbach away to Werder Bremen. That is an away mention. And I also like, and I know this is a bet I don't normally give out, but I'm going to give it out. I also like, where is it? Who is it? Where am I? Bear with me. Also like Leverkusen to be leading at half-time against Wolfsburg. Leverkusen have been on cracking form since the restart. Good side, Leverkusen, good striker. He's about level, similar as Glenn Murray. But yeah, Leverkusen. I know I'm going to have a Troy Deeney fan have a go at me and I say, Troy Deeney is a prolific striker. He's a good striker, Troy Deeney. Right, Leverkusen. Yeah, Leverkusen to be leading at half-time. Half-time market, Leverkusen against Wolfsburg. I don't think I've ever given a bet out like that on here, but I'm giving it to you today. There you go. And Bundesliga 2, I'm going back with them again. Jan Regensburg against Nürnberg. If it is 0-0 on 20-25 minutes, back over 1.5 goals. Jan Regensburg, Nürnberg. So Dortmund, I've got a slight favourites, but I'm not getting involved. I like Mönchengladbach away. I like Leverkusen to be leading at half-time. And I like Jan Regensburg over 1.5 if it's 0-0 on 20-25 minutes. That is me done. Have a lovely whatever it is, Tuesday. I'll be back with more tomorrow. We've got more German games tomorrow. And just remember, if you need an eye test, throw your kids in the car, go and have a drive about. That's what you're doing. If you want to check your eyes are working properly because you've been ill and you think they're there. And I mean, Boris said it affected his eyesight. Boris said about 4 years ago he's blind as a bat. They're liars. I'm sorry, guys. That's what fucking annoys me. They are just absolute, complete and utter liars. And I'm just somebody who can't cope with it. It annoys me. You know, Trump does it over there. We have become... I thought Trump was a unique thing, but we've actually got our version of it and it's getting worse. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. You voted for him. You love it. You crack on. The guys are an absolute fucking bunch and they're wrong-uns. Simple as that. And they are going to take you down the pan because they don't give a fucking shit about you. Right, crack on. Have a lovely day. Beautiful. Up the Dortmund. Come on the yellows. Up the Leverkusen. Up the Mönchengladbach. I'm going to start supporting German football. And remember, Harry Kane is not prolific. He's just, none of them have different finishing abilities. They're all the same. All the same. What, honestly? Fucking hell. I'm losing. I'm close to fucking just headbutting walls until my head bleeds. Right. See you later, guys. Have a lovely day.